and turn to the book of Luke as we continue our study in the Gospel according to Luke. And remember, we started this last year, sometime last spring, with the title of Luke to Jesus, because as you constantly come to church every Sunday, I want you to be encountered by Jesus. I want you to encounter Jesus. Like the only expectation, or well, not maybe not the only expectation, the primary expectation, that is to say the number one expectation on the top three of your expectations when you come to church every Sunday is so that you can look to Jesus, if you will, if you get the pun, right? To look for Jesus, to seek Jesus, to encounter Jesus, to meet with Jesus, and therefore you are then transformed into His image. You may look more like Him and less like the world, or less like the old self, or your old self. And then you can have fellowship and, you know, playing ping pong or whatever else you come here for. Can go and on the list in number two, number three, number four. But number one reason is look to Jesus. And because of that, we wanted to study the gospel according to Luke because he can constantly reveals to us who Jesus is in this book. So we will continue that endeavor by reading from Luke chapter 4, verses 42 through 44, and see what God would teach us from it. This is what God's words say. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. For I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So far, by way of reminders, if you look to Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 1, you see the temptation of Jesus. Remember, Jesus, after he was baptized, was filled by the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness, and the devil tempts him three times. And he failed zero times, right? And we saw that how Jesus defeated temptations using the word of God, if you will. And then he comes out of the wilderness and starts teaching the Bible in the synagogue. And people are like, wow, mesmerized by his teaching. In Galilee, amazing exposition of Scripture, amazing explanation of what God's Word means, to the point where people are actually saying, wow, where did this man come from? Much better than I'm doing right now, because most of you have already tuned out. But nobody tuned out when Jesus spoke and preached and taught God's word. But some disputed him and they wanted to kill him. He escapes them. If you remember, as God was teaching us a couple weeks ago, then he goes into this place called, and he starts casting out demons. The demons are declaring who he is, and they're coming out of people. People are getting delivered, even. Not only he's casting out demons, he's healing. The last thing that you guys talked about, we talked about last week, was that he was healing people with all kinds of diseases. Verse 41 in Luke chapter 4 says, and demons also came out of many, crying, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them, would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. Verse 40 tells us, now when the sun was setting, all those who had, anyone who was sick with various diseases, brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So Jesus defeated temptations. He explained God's word very thoroughly in a way that no one else has ever explained it to them. He has this deliverance ministry. He has this amazing healing ministry. And everybody else is hearing about this. This is where we find ourselves in the story. That people were looking to Jesus to defeat their temptation. People were looking to Jesus for great exposition and explanation of God's word. And people were looking to Jesus for deliverance, and for both spiritually and physically. And people were looking for to Jesus for even provision. I know this is not here in John chapter 4. If you know the story of the Samaritan woman. Do you know the story of the Samaritan woman? How many of you know the story of the Samaritan woman? Show of hands. What was the Samaritan woman looking for? And you can talk back to me. What was she doing when Jesus found her? She was looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. No, that's a different story. Sorry. What was she looking for? Water. Thank you for talking back to me. She was looking for water. And Jesus tells her, he has this water that would, once she, if she drinks it, she will never go thirsty again. Can you imagine if somebody came to you and said, hey, I got water that if you drink from this water, you will never go thirsty. Because I know some of you had drank water or by the cups today. But I promise you, in a couple of minutes, in a couple of hours, you're going to be thirsty again, right? And you're going to go across the hall, and you're going to go to the fountain, and you're going to get water, and then you're going to drink it. And when Jesus promises to give her this water, she says, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty. Right. And then again in John chapter 6, we see a story of Jesus feeding 5,000 men. But if you include their women and the children that are there, anywhere between 15,000 to 20,000 people, and he feeds them with actual food, fish and chips. Well, if they were British, they would say fish and chips, right? He just had bread and fish. And he gives them all of that, and they wanted to, they loved the fact that they got free food. Who likes free food? Yeah. Right? If you were fed every week free food, wouldn't you show up to the place that gives you free food? Yeah. If Chick-fil-A was free and open on Sundays, I don't think church attendance would be this big. But praise God that Chick-fil-A owners are Christian and therefore they close on Sundays for church attendance. So perceiving this, they were about to come, the people, the 20,000 people that Jesus fed, and this is John chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, they were about to come and take him by force, make him king. That's what they were about to do, right? I mean, free food, free groceries. If somebody ran on free groceries and free rent, and free health care, free mental health care. Can you imagine? Free education. I know most of you here are not of age to vote, but your parents will vote for every person that would ever say free all of those things. So people are looking to Jesus for these things. And this is where we find ourselves in Luke chapter 4. If you found someone that would give you victory over temptation, if you found someone that gives you great understanding of God's word, if you found someone that can help you with your sickness, both physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually, if you found someone that can feed you for free for the rest of your life, what would you do with that person? Would you let them walk out and go? You would want to hold on to them. And that's what these people are doing. Though the natural consequence of this is, hey, stay so I can be the best person I can be. That's what they're saying. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. We know that he always did this. He goes to a desolate place to pray. And the people sought him. That means the people were seeking after Jesus. It's almost kind of playing hide and seek. He went to, not necessarily to hide from them, to pray, but they were seeking Jesus. And then not only did they seek him, but they came to him. They had to get up from where they were and go to where he was. To do what? To keep him from leaving there. Because he was providing free victory over temptation, free Bible lessons, free health care, free food and drinks, and they wanted to keep him there because they wanted to be the best person they can be. They wanted to know their Bibles better. They wanted to have a mental and physical condition that can be safe. They wanted him for all of those things. They wanted to have all their needs met, which is what do you want to do, right? In fact, these things may seem like the good news that Jesus came to proclaim. Jesus came to proclaim good news. Isn't it good news if somebody said, hey, what are you struggling with? What is your temptation? My temptation is, I think I speak to for almost 99.9% of the people in here, maybe, okay, 99%. I'll give you 1%. So if you're a part of the 1%, this doesn't include you. But for the rest of us, the biggest temptation, right, that we have, and you know this is not good for you, and you want to put it away, but you can't put it away, and Jesus, however, gives you victory over this. Is it not good news? Whatever the temptation is, isn't it good news that any demonic power, any kind of mental health issue that you may have, any kind of physical health issue you may have, may be healed by Jesus for free? No insurance needed. Is it not good news? Does that not sound like good news to you? Isn't it good news when you open your Bible, hopefully not as randomly as I just did, and you read God's word and you're like, what does this mean that Jesus would come and explain it to you in a way that you understand it, in a way that actually affects your life to a positive end? Doesn't that sound like good news? So people are seeking Jesus for those reasons, and Jesus tells them in verse 43 with his response, which is a significant question to significant response to the question, why are you seeking Jesus? Why do you come to Jesus? I want you to really ask yourself today. Really, do an actual assessment of your own mind. Why do you want Jesus? Do you want Jesus so that you can be the best person you can be? Do you want Jesus so that you never get sick again? Do you want Jesus so that you can maybe, ultimately, like, get saved from the punishment of eternal damnation and hell? Do you want Jesus because you want to live the best life now? Do you want Jesus so that you can be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous? Do you want Jesus so you can overcome your temptation? Do you want Jesus so that you can have a place to live? Do you want Jesus so that he can provide you with a nice car? Why do you seek Jesus? Why do you embrace him? Why do you hold fast to him? I want you to seek Jesus, follow Jesus, trust Jesus for the right reason. I don't want you to be like the rest of these people that were seeking him for these reasons that may seem good on the outside, but not the primary reason for why Jesus came to your life, to this world. It's important to take Jesus' words regarding his purpose. Look down at your Bible in verse 43. He said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." Why did Jesus come? To preach the good news of the kingdom of God. What does that mean? I think it's important to define the word kingdom. The kingdom is the lawful sovereign rule by a lawful sovereign king. It's a realm that is governed by, that is ruled by a king. That is what a kingdom is. That's a simple definition of that. Right? And I want you to see the contrast between when Jesus came and now Jesus has arrived. What is the condition of the world? What kingdom did people live in? Under whose rule did the world live in before Jesus came? I want you to see that contrast now. What was the condition before Jesus? Who had the lawful sovereign rule of your heart before Jesus came into your life? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. Who reigned? Who did Paul say reigned in the hearts of people? Death. He says to the Colossians, he, that is Jesus, delivered us from the domain, from the rule, from the kingdom of darkness. So before Jesus, who ruled your heart? We had death. Now we see the Bible teaching us darkness was reigning. That is the kingdom of darkness. In fact, John in 1 John chapter 5 says, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. In other words, the entire world, the entire cosmos, the entire world order lies in the power under the rule of the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul calls the devil the god of this world. So there was a kingdom that reigned over your hearts. There is a kingdom that reigns over the hearts of those who do not trust in Jesus. And that kingdom is defined by death. That kingdom is defined by sin. That kingdom is defined by the devil himself. That kingdom is defined by darkness. That does not sound like good news to me. Does that sound like good news to y'all? So when Jesus says, it's in this backdrop that Jesus says he must proclaim the good news. So if you had this backdrop, which is darkness and death and sin and the devil and the God of the world, you had all of that in the backdrop, somebody else comes in and tells you about a different kind of rule, a different kind of kingdom, the contrast is clear. The kingdom of God, that is to say, the lawful sovereign rule by the lawful sovereign king of the universe in the hearts of men. That is the gospel. It has broken into the world through Jesus. Right, this is what Jesus is saying. God's kingdom has broken into Satan's kingdom. To deliver you from that darkness. To deliver you from death. To deliver you from sin. To deliver you from Satan himself. Jesus came into this world to proclaim, to preach to everyone, not just a select group of people that would meet in churches and in synagogues and in areas, but to the rest of the cities, he said. This good news, that the kingdom of God, which is the display of God's radical and unlimited love. It's a radical kind of love, by the way. This is not like the love that you would show, that you would see in any of your favorite Netflix shows or K-pop shows or whatever, which reminds me, by the way, there's a Korean festival happening in 2 weeks out in Manassas. We'll advertise it next week, right? Whatever it is. That's not the kind of love that Jesus had. It's a radically different kind of love. A love that will die for. Do people still? My Gen Z lingo teacher or slang teacher has graduated and moved on to college, so I have not picked up another tutor for Gen Z. Do people still say ops? Yeah. Like, that's not the kind of love that you would have, right? Like, you don't have love for your ops, right? But God has love for his enemies. This is the kind of radical love that, well, we were enemies. Jesus died for us to show that God loves us that much. It's unheard of. You won't do it by yourself unless God does it. So this kingdom of God that displays this radical love, this unlimited love, the love that will never fail, the love that no one can separate you from, not the demons, not the angels, not hardships, not starvation, not money, not nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, is what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. That kind of love has broken into the world and is available to you to be lived out of it in the here and now today. You're able to live it. You, sitting in that chair, can live from that place of love. By faith, in love, here and now. That is what Jesus came to preach. That is what Jesus brought to this world. Not just free health care, not just old temptation. Those things are byproducts. Those things are just signposts. I want us to take a mental road trip real quick. I want you to go to your favorite vacation destination. So I'm going to the Caribbean for me. I don't know where you're going. Where the water is blue and the sand is white and it's clear. It's beautiful, 78 degree day. Taking a road trip there. And as I'm taking a road trip, you see a sign that says, beach 12 miles. And then as you drive, beach 7 miles. And then you see a little arrow that says, beach this way. For me, I don't know where you're going. But wherever you're going, I just want you to take mark of the signs. Would you be satisfied stopping at the first sign that you see and just saying, all right, I've arrived? Where it says beach 12 miles, and then you stop your car and pull over and you sit there and you take your umbrella out and you lounge right there. Is that, would you be satisfied? Is that my destination? Is that your destination? No. You won't be satisfied with the signs. The sign is not the thing itself. The sign is just sending you, pointing you to the destination. You get that, you're following me, right? I think you guys are smart enough to follow that. So the victory over temptation is just a sign to the kingdom of God. The explanation of God's word and understanding what God is saying and what God's will is in his word is just a sign. The demons coming out and the sickness being healed, that's just a sign. The food and the drink and the fish and the chips and all of those things that God is providing is just a sign. You don't camp there. That's not God's kingdom. It's just pointing you in that direction. That just comes as a byproduct, if you will. For the kingdom of God that broke into this world, that broke into your life, in order that the king himself would lawfully and sovereignly, that is to say, without contest, without anybody else taking that rulership, or even if it's you, that he would lawfully and sovereignly rule over your life. If Jesus is the King and the Lord of your life, that and you live from that place, and he is in your heart as Lord and King, that is the kingdom of God. And if you have Jesus, guess what you have? Victory over temptation. If you have Jesus, you have everything else, because you're already at your destination. You have everything that you would need. You have the actual substance. You just don't have the signs or pictures. Another way to think about it is putting on a VR headset. I don't know how many of you own one of those things. If you have a VR headset and then you just pretend like you're at the beach, are you actually at the beach? No, it seems like it, because when you turn around, you hear it in your ears and it looks like you're at the beach, but no, you're inside your room or in your apartment, in your house, wherever you are. That's not the actual beach. That's just pretend. This is what Jesus says, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. I want to have the real thing. Do you want to have the real thing? If you want to have the real thing, here's what Jesus answered them when they asked him about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. It's not about the things that just point you in that direction. Nor would they say, look here, here it is, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. That the kingdom of God is the rulership of God in your heart. It's from the inside out. Paul explains it this way. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. What is it about then? But of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is what the kingdom of God is. So if the rule of Jesus in your heart is the reason for you searching and seeking for Jesus and trusting in him, if it's not that reason, if you don't desire to have Jesus rule in righteousness and peace and joy in your heart for the present life, in this broken world that we all live in, if that's not what you desire to have Jesus for, you have shortchanged yourself. You have cheated yourself. You'll be easily influenced by anything else that will promise you. You'll be easily influenced and controlled by and manipulated by other things, by other people, by other ideals that will promise you to improve your life. One may come to you and say, hey, you know, if you have this degree in whatever area that they're hiring for $200,000 a year for, if you have this many followers on this social media page, if you have all of these things happening in your life, you can improve your life and everybody will like you and everybody would accept you. And if anybody promises that to you and you buy into that because you came to Jesus for the wrong reasons, you'll fall for the wrong explanation of the truth, which is a lie, right? If someone wrongly explains the truth, what is the wrong truth? What's another way of saying the wrong truth? A lie, right? If it's not true, then it can't be another version of true. If it's not true, it's false. So you could easily be manipulated and controlled by the wrong explanation of truth. You can easily be manipulated by things and ideals that promise you to overcome your mental and physical and spiritual brokenness, whether that is through medication or self-medication and through, you know, focus on your breathing and all of those things, ideals that come into to help you center yourself, find yourself, all those things. And those things aren't going to last unless you seek Jesus. Unless the reason why you seek Jesus is to have him rule in your heart as your Lord, as your Savior. Because if you seek Jesus so he can be the Lord of your life, not only would you live in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit today, you will inherit a kingdom that will never pass away. I want you to truly consider this. Why are you seeking Jesus? And receive his kingdom into your heart today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you have sent us your Son, through whom your kingdom has broken into the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom that was ruled and is ruled by the evil one. Kingdom where sin and death reign, and to the kingdom where rebellion and brokenness exists, that you broke into this kingdom by the kingdom of light, kingdom of your Son, your own kingdom, your rule, your dominion, your sovereignty. Lord, you want to give this kingdom that is a kingdom marked by righteousness and peace and joy, a kingdom that is the display of your radical and unlimited love, to those who would trust in your Son, Jesus, and confess that He is Lord with their lips, and believe in their hearts that He has been raised from the dead. That kingdom can be their reality, the place on which their life is built. That no matter how much rain falls, no matter how much flood comes, and no matter how much winds blow, that the kingdom will not be shaken. And from that kingdom we can receive the gifts that you would give to us to overcome our temptation, to live a life that is full of healing and joy and peace, to live a life where we are content with what you provide for us, to live a life knowing your will and doing your will, to live a life of satisfaction. Father, we ask that you would make this kingdom a reality of their lives, of these young people that have heard these words being proclaimed today. I ask that your Spirit will apply the truth of your word according to the need, according to the mercy, according to the power that He has over their hearts. Let us live seeking Jesus because He is the embodiment of your kingdom. Let that be a reality. And if there's anyone who has not given their life, surrendered to the kingship of the Lord Jesus, I ask that your Spirit will draw them to Him and make them receive a kingdom that was prepared for them before the foundation of the world. We ask that you would accomplish this and trust that you have already, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now,